Beets are a great source of nitric oxide, and you can get the benefits of 3 whole beets in just 1 teaspoon of Super Beets without the beet taste. No fuss, no muss. It's a great way to get your nitric oxide in your bloodstream elevated. Call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com. That's 800-738-2198. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We're talking about integrative ways of treating Alzheimer's disease and dementia. Our guest is Lisa Feiner. She's a co-founder and a director of the Sharp Again Naturally Foundation. This is a group that seeks to raise awareness about avenues of potential improvement for patients suffering from cognitive decline and Alzheimer's disease. In part one, we talked a little bit about some of the basic things that have an impact on cognitive decline and how often these are not recognized when we take a pharmaceutical approach to cognitive decline. We make a broad-based diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. We try this, that, or the other medication, and we ignore some natural lifestyle measures that can be enormously healthy. And that's what Sharp Again Naturally is trying to do. Lisa, you know, there is no protocol that's set in stone that is endorsed by Sharp Again Naturally. It's not like there's a general agreement yet about all the ingredients that go into reversing cognitive decline. Is that correct? You're in the process of trying to develop protocols.
That's correct. We're assembling a medical and dental advisory board who will take a look at the causes that we've identified, and we're going to come up with an evaluation and treatment protocol that people can use with their doctors to start the process of at least looking at what might be causing the dementia or Alzheimer's that their loved ones are experiencing.
So, if, from the standpoint of diet, what are some of the issues that, you know, involving diet? I know there's not the magic cognitive enhancing diet plan that works in a surefire way for everyone, but how can diet impact the brain?
So there are a number of things that we look at. Some things we recommend perhaps be removed from the diet and other things be added. And so if you go to your doctor, you can have your vitamins and minerals tested and see what you might be low in. We've heard in the last few years how important vitamin D3 is, the B vitamins, magnesium. And, you know, one of the things we always talk about are processed foods, which have lots of artificial flavors, colors, preservatives, sweeteners. These artificial foods, it's like a car. It's kind of putting bad gas in the car. When you're young, it doesn't have that much of an effect, but it accumulates over time, and ultimately the gears and your organs get mucked up. And by removing these processed foods, you can start to clean up your body and have it function better. Because we know, sugar and refined carbohydrates, as you've mentioned, that Dr. Perlmutter has talked about, we're really seeing how a lifetime of too much sugar can cause the body to become insulin resistant. And that goes for the brain as well. And many of your listeners may have heard of Alzheimer's referred to as diabetes of the brain, or type 3 diabetes. What we need then is for the brain to have fuel that it recognizes and it can use. And if it's become insulin resistant, one alternative source of fuel are ketones. And Dr. Mary Newport has done a lot of research. Her husband had dementia, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and she's a neonatal physician, but she did a lot of research and put him on coconut oil and medium-chain triglycerides. And he showed amazing improvement and was able to really resume so much of what he had done before the diagnosis. And so that's something we do tell people about, because it's inexpensive. You can build up. It can have some. It can irritate the system a little bit if you take too much too quickly. So we suggest people kind of build up. But that's another thing that people could try if they've had a lot of sugar in their diet. And of course, at the same time, you'd want to start to reduce the processed foods and the simple carbs.
And then there's this notion that Alzheimer's disease is an inflammatory disorder of the brain. And, you know, research shows that there are pro-inflammatory diets and anti-inflammatory diets. A pro-inflammatory diet might be high in sugar, processed foods, bereft of plant-based nutrients and omega-3 oils. An anti-inflammatory diet might be something akin to the Mediterranean diet, rich in fish, olive oil, polyphenols, lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, spices. Spices are known to have anti-inflammatory properties. I believe that when Dr. Bredesen did his pioneering work, Dr. Dale Bredesen of UCLA did admittedly small but dramatic intervention on 10 patients suffering from Alzheimer's disease, and 9 out of 10 patients regained to a greater or lesser extent their cognition. The diet was a fundamental aspect of that, and I think the diet that he embraced was something along the lines of a Mediterranean diet.
That's right. That's right.
It wasn't necessarily a very low-fat diet. It wasn't, you know, like the, you know, Ornish diet, but it was a diet that actually had beneficial fats and protein and time-release low glycemic index carbohydrates.
Right, and I think we're seeing that as a key to brain health are these healthy fats. So I know there was an article in the paper just this week about how omega-3s didn't really enhance cognitive function, but the omega-3 fats, flaxseed, chia seeds, the walnuts, oily fish such as salmon, mackerel, sardines, you know, all of these fats can be protective of the body and the brain. And it's very important to eliminate trans fats, all of those partially hydrogenated oils that you find in those baked goods that sit on the shelf and extend the shelf life. So yes. The oils and fats are important. You know, we talk to people about keeping hydrated. That's also important. As people age, their thirst mechanism tends to be less powerful, and they're not always aware when they don't have enough hydration.
That sometimes with blood pressure medications, and literally not enough blood gets to the brain. You know, blood pressure is lowered excessively, and that may mean that you actually don't perfuse critical areas of your brain with oxygen from the red blood cells.
Right. So we're finding that, and I have found as a health coach that people really need support around diet, because look, I mean, if you've been eating a certain way for 50, 60, 70 years, it can be very challenging to change diet. And if you're caring for a loved one, then it's important to be able to prepare foods that are healthy that they want to eat. And so this is a process. And I think our goal is to see health coaches trained to support families through this whole protocol ultimately.
Well, absolutely. I think you know, one of the ingredients in the success of some of my patients who've done well with programs like this is a lot of family support, because already if you're challenged cognitively, you know, you can't take personal responsibility for you know, all these interventions, for, you know, proper obtaining proper food, preparing it properly, taking supplements in a routine fashion, and so on. You know, you need a lot of family support, and the individuals who've done the best have had a lot of that.
Right. I also think we're very fortunate in the New York area to have more than our share of integrative and holistic professionals. I mean, MDs and DOs and holistic dentists, and it's challenging for families sometimes to find doctors they can work with, and that's something that Sharp Again is also trying to do, is to create a practitioner database so that families can find practitioners to go to. You know, for instance, if you have many silver fillings that are filled with mercury, it can be dangerous to remove them too quickly and to remove them at all unless a dentist is trained in safe dentistry. And so it's important for people to go to a dentist who knows what they're doing and doesn't allow the mercury vapors and any of the mercury itself to be reabsorbed into the body during this process. So one of our goals as well is to support people in finding practitioners who can help them and to take this protocol to them and say, you know, help test me and treat me for these things. And it's likely not going to be one person. It might be, but chances are they may have to go to a number of different people to cover all the bases depending upon what their particular situation is like. I mean, for example, you mentioned inflammation earlier. You know, we know that Lyme disease has a dementia component. Mm-hmm. We met somebody in their 20s who had undiagnosed Lyme, and she said that it progressed to the point where she was definitely having cognitive difficulty. And so by getting it accurately diagnosed and treated, she was then able to restore her cognitive function completely.
Well, absolutely. It's important to do the proper detective work to find if there's an underlying cause. Another cause that's often missed is a B12 deficiency, or in some individuals, maybe what appears to be borderline B12 that might get missed by a conventional practitioner, but maybe a genetic propensity to require higher doses of B vitamins. There's actually now genetic tests that are available to show whether people have what's called an MTHFR polymorphism, which is a glitch in their genetic capacity to handle methylated B vitamins, and that may require higher doses of those vitamins to get cognitive improvements. In fact, even at conventional or mainstream neurology conferences or geriatrics conferences, the pharmaceutical companies are selling methylated V vitamins in combination with N-acetylcysteine as a memory support supplement called serifolin. Serifolin is actually considered a medical food. It's, you know, recognized that these methylated B vitamins and NAC may have an impact on brain function in the elderly.
So, you know, you've hit on something that's really important, which is that people need to be tested individually and their own situation looked at. The new genetic testing can be really helpful. I mean, there's the APOE gene that has been linked to Alzheimer's disease. And after learning what we've learned, we feel that it's not a gene that says you're going to get Alzheimer's disease, but it is a gene that says you might be more sensitive to some of these toxins and even some of the chemicals in the processed foods and artificial flavors and colorings, or your body may not be able to rid itself of these toxins easily, and you actually may need more help through supplementation or through chelation or some other way. You know, I think that to the people that we've met, and even some people who are very closely aligned with Sharp Again, they've taken a look at this themselves and have gone down that road and see how their parents or their loved ones had been suffering and what they, you know, what they had been suffering with, what some of their other clinical diagnoses had been, and it gives them clues to what perhaps is going on in their own body. So it can be very useful information.
So among the candidate supplements, I know you're not going to provide us with a recipe for invariably curing dementia or Alzheimer's disease, but what are some of the candidate supplements that loom large in a potential protocol for brain health?
Well, I think, you know, we've talked about some of them. I mean, the B vitamins, we talk about D3, B6, and B12, K2, which is to be used in conjunction with the D3, magnesium, and as a supplement, the coconut oil can be very helpful. Obviously, increasing your omega-3 fats and decreasing the omega-6 oils. A multivitamin. Some people are not used to taking a whole food multivitamin. That can be helpful for people to make sure they're getting all the basic nutrients they need.
There's some good information now about things like curcumin. Curcumin is certainly undergoing research as an anti-inflammatory for the brain that might have an impact on dementia. So that's certainly
been a part. Yes, there were some supplements in Dr. Bredesen's study, I believe, used curcumin and ashwagandha as two herbs that seem to be beneficial for brain health.
Mm-hmm.
Turmeric is obviously has the curcumin in it.
Right. So actually, the part of the task of Sharp Again Naturally is to compile evidence-based research and information and compile a resource list for patients and clinicians to use when trying to approach this problem. And again, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. It's going to be a multifaceted approach. Exercise, too, seems to play a role. And I've always been fascinated by studies that suggest that, you know, all these memory games and, you know, mental gymnastics that people perform, they've actually not been that well validated by science. Yeah, they may seem like, you know, you're doing something to exercise your brain, like any muscle. But it turns out that physical exercise, putting one foot in front of the other, may be more efficacious for the brain than mental gymnastics.
Yes, and it's not, that's very true. I think the other things that have been linked with brain health and a healthy long life are good social connections and, you know, lack of less stress in your life. People who are very stressed, I think we all know that even in midlife, if we're very stressed, our brain doesn't function as well. But I also want to address one other thing, which is I believe there's a lot of misdiagnosis of dementia with people who may be going through some major change in their lives. If people have been married a very long time and they suddenly lose a spouse, we know that there's a period of maybe 4 to 6 months, perhaps even to a year, where they're not quite themselves.
Mm-hmm. And social withdrawal and so on, yeah.
Yeah, they're dementia-like symptoms that arise, but with the proper support, it can bring them back. And it's time-related. But you also see people diagnosed with dementia. I mean, family members are concerned. They may take them to a memory center, and they may fail the test, but ultimately not have dementia or Alzheimer's, but be so distraught and stressed that they're unable to function in a way that where they would pass those tests. And with time and encouragement and regain social interactions and purpose, we see these people can come back. And I think that's very important. Also, your mental state of mind. I mean, optimists, people who have what I would call positive self-talk, who don't worry, who perhaps believe in a higher power, but who can let some of the angst of everyday life go, those people who are more mentally positive tend to also have better outcomes. So there are some other things. They may not be so obvious or immediate, but they do also impact cognitive clarity and function.
Indeed. Well, I think that pretty much sums up some of the plausible approaches to a natural way of retarding cognitive decline and even reversing Alzheimer's disease. That's the mission statement behind SHARP Again. I'll actually read that statement because I have it in front of me. The mission of SHARP Again Naturally is to educate the public and medical community about reversible causes of dementia and Alzheimer's disease and advocate for new testing and treatment protocols. And the vision is that a world aware that lifestyle and environmental factors are primary, preventable, and often reversible causes of Alzheimer's disease and dementia diagnoses. So a very worthwhile cause. And what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? How can people inform themselves about SHARP Again Naturally? How can they get involved?
They can go to our website at sharpagain.org. And if they need support or have questions, there is a way to contact us. Many people have done that, and we welcome that. And to get on our mailing list so that we can send them our newsletters and updated information, because what we're finding, even since we started, is we have new causative factors that are coming to light that contribute to brain health and dysfunction. And this information keeps getting upgraded and changed as we learn more.
And, of course, if there's any philanthropic angels out there looking to support a worthwhile cause, I couldn't think of a better one.
Yes, thank you. We certainly want to contribute to the research in this area and finishing some video kind of documentaries that show people that this is a viable approach, that people do come back. And yes, we certainly could use volunteers, because we're very small and we've gained traction very quickly, and we're looking for help in a number of areas.
Well, and there's also a newsletter, am I correct?
Yes. We have another one coming out very shortly on Dr. Bredesen's findings. So
that's a really important thing. I want our listeners to find out about that. How can they get a copy of that newsletter that details Dr. Bredesen's findings? Because I think that is a real milestone in the history of our understanding of Alzheimer's and dementia. That, I think, is really going to be the turning point and is going to usher in a whole new era of looking at natural approaches for these conditions. So what's the way to get a hold of that newsletter?
So you can go on our website and sign up to receive the newsletter, or if people want to email me directly, they can email lisa.feiner, F-E-I-N-E-R, at sharpagain.org.
What's again?
Or send an email to info@sharpagain.org.
Okay, lisa.feiner@sharpagain.org or info@sharpagain.org. Thank you very much, Lisa Feiner, for joining us, SHARP Again Naturally. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.